Practical Work on Self, Chapter 3, Negative Manifestation. Almost everything we say and do is some form of negative emotion, whether we recognize it as such or not. Posture, gesture, and facial mask are all inexhaustible sources of negative manifestations. In general, negative manifestations of the machine are the mental centrum's exaggerated stimulation of what it imagines an emotion might be like, if it had one, in accordance with the mental centrum's suggestibility to organic spasms occurring in the motor centrum. When we see an aristocratic lady in a department store, we can, if our attention is sufficiently strong and our machine is awake, actually see her dreams pass across her facial mask, registered in the facial muscles. And even if we're not skilled enough to see her dreams, we can at least see that she is asleep and that her attention is distracted, seduced by fascination with all the glitter and flash of the department store, and moreover, that she's completely unaware of her sleep. And in her sleep, unless we do something to disturb her complacent dreams, she will be unaware of our observation. With experience, we should be able to examine her whole personal history just by observing manifestations in the mask. We notice that she seems to sleep more deeply, and what we can see must be her favorite postures and manifestations, those in which she seems most at ease. Occasionally, she may become somewhat agitated should the machine awaken slightly, just momentarily, when the machine happens to stop for a moment in some posture she finds displeasing to her vanity, which is itself a mask for personal insecurity. She does not and cannot know how ugly she is when the machine is in sleep, and if she happened to accidentally discover this, she would be driven into insanity before her personal insecurity became too powerful. At the same time, her machine is so deeply asleep that she is aware only of her subjective dreams about herself. She has never seen herself as she is, and if she were to happen someday to accidentally catch a glimpse of the awakened machine in a mirror, she would completely fail to recognize the image as her own reflection. If we were to tell her what we can easily see written on her face, she would be shocked and amazed, but only for a moment or two. Then, in order to protect her vanity, she would find some mystical explanation or dismiss our comments as rubbish. The personality of the machine, which is to say, its sense of personal identity, is a complex formation of automatically preceding categorical associations of each of the three lower centrums, the results of organic and psychological conditioning, which became necessary for survival because the machine was asleep from the very beginning. The real master of the machine, the non-phenomenal self, which is the real source of attention and presence, is very different from the complex personal identity of the machine. It is a simple presence with no particular identity, no particular qualities, although it may take on itself the qualities of its host machine for a short period of time. Unlike the personal identity of the machine, the real self has no need for embellishment or personal enhancement, because although it is in this world, it is not of it. Unless, of course, the machine happens to be asleep and the attention of the non-phenomenal self has become seduced by the machine's dreams. When we continually express our views and feelings about everything under the sun, as our first-class contemporary civilization teaches us to do, we unconsciously strengthen the vanity and self-love of the machine for the machine. We often slyly express these mental centrum emotions as indirect forms of negativity by dropping subtle hints in words, gesture, posture, and facial mask about our insignificant little personal tragedies of life. The machine seems to have a virtually inexhaustible repertoire of such postures, gestures, and facial masks, which can, without actually saying anything, subtly express negative emotions. These subtle manifestations of the machine should be closely observed with the ordinary attention, without making any attempt to use the supernormal attention at this time. These simple little observations will provide data for an experiment which will be explained. The machine, being the mechanical nothingness that it is, enslaves itself to whatever mood happens to be suggested by whichever motor centrum posture happens to be proceeding at the moment. These postures and their emotional reverberations occur in an exact and predictable sequence according to the law of the octave, and we can observe them if we understand this automatic sequence and know where to look next, which is to say, if we can predict the flow of tensions, we can follow the sequence with our attention. In this way, we can begin to exert our own true will, that is, the will of the attention of the non-phenomenal self, over the will of the machine, by observing the manifestations of the machine, which has two primary effects. First, that which is observed is changed slightly just by the presence of the observer. Second, the act of observation of the machine calls for the activation of the source of attention, automatically activating the higher centrums, which eventually form the core of the higher bodies within which we are able to exist in the higher dimensions. Control of the machine's manifestations is not our aim now or later. Although the behavior patterns may change somewhat as a result of the influence of the active presence of the non-phenomenal self. And although the effect is slow to exert itself, eventually the attention of the non-phenomenal self upon the machine produces definite changes in the machine, which we will discuss later under the general category of the human biological machine. But behavior of the machine is nothing. The result we're trying to obtain is far beyond the realm of this lower dimension. It is in a much higher dimension that we have our real business. Every one of us living and working independently toward personal evolution is forced sooner or later to realize that the manifestations of the machine have their origin in an inaccessible monastery, which we cannot penetrate in the ordinary way. Yet unless we're able to penetrate this monastery and to take command of the machine, we will never develop the will to awaken the machine. Because the mental centrum is completely inaccessible directly, but can be used as a source of attention for the observation of the motor centrum, and the emotional centrum is completely non-existent in ordinary human beings, the motor centrum is the most accessible monastery of the inner workings of the machine. Thoughts and emotions are much faster than movement. Thought passes at the speed of light, and emotion is not much slower. Both are fugitive, changing and passing, fleeting as vapor. We cannot see them, although we can observe their passage by observing the effects they have had upon the machine, as we would study charged particles in a Wilson cloud chamber. But all this is too complicated for a beginner. Obviously, we cannot begin the observation of pure thoughts, and as for emotions, the machine has no emotions in any case, so there's nothing for us to observe. On the other hand, the motor centrum expresses its manifestations openly, and they remain observable for a relatively long period of time. The manifestations of the motor centrum can be observed just by the simple observation of the machine's ordinary activities, using that form of attention ordinarily available to us without special training, which is the attention of the head brain. Someday, even thoughts and emotions will seem slow in comparison to our accelerated consciousness and deep attention, and at that time, we can work with them directly. But in the meantime, our efforts to use the negative emotions and manifestations of the machine for our own evolution begin actively with the simple observation of all the manifestations of the machine's motor centrum. We can purify our organic self somewhat by forcing it to fast from food and rid itself of toxic substances. But we can also learn to fast in a very different way, as the pupils in ancient school once did, from the unwilled appearances of unconscious manifestations, negative emotions originating in the motor centrum. Make a list categorizing these manifestations of the machine, as if you were assembling the data for an encyclopedia of all the motor centrum manifestations of your own particular machine. Keep this list. Eventually you will use it for further exercises. Pay a special attention to that manifestation which seems most precious to the machine's self-esteem, keeping in mind that you're most interested in that particular manifestation under which the machine buries its feelings of personal insecurity. This manifestation should be studied and imitated until you're able to voluntarily invoke it down upon the machine at your own will, even over the counter will of the machine. Practice this particular manifestation many times before the mirror until you're sure that you have it exactly. Then, with the eyes closed, do it again, this time sensing the sensations of the manifestation, so you can invoke it upon the machine without the mirror. Using the sensations of the machine to duplicate a manifestation or a posture of the machine is one way to use the sensing apparatus as a tool for evolution. Practicing machine manifestations activates the sensing apparatus, which under the ordinary conditions of life remains asleep. This exercise produces an intentional bridge across these lower centrums. Sensing will help us to recognize a manifestation when it occurs spontaneously. So mechanical are these manifestations of the motor centrum that they easily slip past the untrained attention. When you're able to duplicate the manifestation by sensation, try another exercise. Magnify feelings associated with this particular manifestation so you're able to recognize it with vision, having studied it in the mirror. Then by sensing, having studied it with the eyes closed while sensing its totality. Then finally, by the feeling associated with the manifestation. It should be possible for you to practice this manifestation before the mirror or even before a group without feeling too much embarrassment, unless you identify with the human biological machine. Between seeing, sensing, and feeling, we should be able to produce a very effective alarm clock which can alert our attention whenever this particular manifestation occurs spontaneously in the machine. To keep oneself by restraining all expressions of negative emotions, emotion manifestations can be work productive in several ways. Remember the ancient saying, never do anything you wouldn't want to do again. We must not forget as we observe the machine that we are destined to pass this way again, not just once or twice, but eternally. And eventually we will want to wake the machine, not just in later life, but throughout its life from conception to death. But what about those periods during which we've allowed the machine to fall into the deep sleep, which is visibly represented by its negative mechanicalities? Of course, when we return another time to awaken the machine, even though we may have awakened it before after these periods of unconsciousness, it will be more difficult to awaken the machine in these negative dramas. We see how difficult it is to awaken the machine under the best of conditions. Just imagine what it would be like to awaken the machine during a period of raging mayhem or hysteria. And what do you suppose it might be like to bring the machine out of the depths of despairing depression? How would you like to someday spend several thousand passes through your lifetime trying desperately to wear away the rough edges of a period of ecstatic frenzy? What a lot of work we're making for ourselves. The containment of expressions of negative emotion of the machine means that before we can really sacrifice anything, we must sacrifice our own suffering. We often express negativity by casually mentioning problems we have with our inner, outer and inner worlds, such as miserable food and not enough of it. Perhaps the weather is all wrong, or we've had miserable sex and not enough of it. We may complain about money, whether too little or too much. Our biological machine discomforts may be a source of conversation, or our serious world-shaking problems with those who happen not to conform exactly to our standards of behavior and beliefs. We might launch into a non-stop monologue about our pet likes and dislikes. Maybe we hear the machine, to our utter surprise, mention casually the miserable state of public transportation. Of course, everyone is interested in our views about the economy and our unique situation, which is to say that we have too many debts to pay and too little pay for the work we do. And what day would be complete without mentioning that our clothing is always the wrong size and we've outgrown it or it's out of fashion just now? All these and many more are verbal expressions of negative emotion. Negative because it originates with the machine. In fact, everything we say and do, if it originates with the machine, is negative emotion in one disguise or another. And if we're prevented from verbalizing our negativity, we can always find more subtle ways to express our negativity using little flirtations of the motor centrum. We must consider how others see and interpret our machine's manifestations if we are to understand how to awaken the machine and use its activities and natural manifestations for our work. Anyone at all, even someone whose machine is deeply asleep, even horizontal dead, can see when we feel negative emotion. Our inner world is reflected in our manifestations like a contemporary poet. We are not able to keep ourselves. We have no authority over our not overly domesticated dogs. To cease to be a helpless slave to our emotional dogs is the very beginning of personal work and must be mastered before we can take even one step toward voluntary evolution. Mechanical man is forced to obey these emotional dogs continually, to feed them and play fetch with them when they complain. And yet he believes without hesitation that he has completely domesticated them with himself as their master. If you really believe this about yourself, just make one little experiment. Try to stifle all the involuntary negative manifestations of the machine for just 1 hour and see what happens. If you've ever had the idea that these manifestations were voluntary and authentic, you're in for a surprise. However, we should take heart. It is vital in our beginning work to observe the immense power that the machine holds over the will of the source of our attention, the non-phenomenal self. If we're to win this war, we must understand the enemy. All those subtle and not so subtle manifestations of the machine which express personal urgency, importance, self-esteem, piousness, happiness, embarrassment, fear, personal certainty, anything which might camouflage feelings of insecurity, even something as subtle as casual gossip, should be studied carefully for possible voluntarization. Each of these categorical manifestations has a definite and recognizable posture, gesture, tone of voice, and facial mask expression, all of which should be studied in detail exactly as one would study a machine or a part of a machine. We will call the repertoire of all these negative manifestations of the machine, taken as a whole, the crocodile. You are to actively study this strange creature from now on. completely, closely, in every little detail, exactly as a scientist would study a newly discovered species. If you have little love for science and even less for zoology, paleontology, biology, or any of the other ologies, you could, if you prefer, study the manifestations of the machine in another way, as a role would be studied by an actor preparing a character for the stage. This should not be too difficult. According to observations, the number of manifestations existing in the human-machine repertoire is absurdly limited, so limited that it is almost impossible to distinguish a human being from a store dummy. As a matter of fact, several times in the course of a shopping expedition, we will find ourselves asking one or another store dummy for the exact time. And conversely, we have occasionally been startled to discover that what we had first taken to be a store dummy was a living human being, in the rough sense of the word. In the course of studying the machine, whichever the two you decide to use, whether studying the machine as a crocodile or as a theatrical character, try to find that particular manifestation, usually seemingly trivial, upon which the machine depends the most. It will appear ridiculous to you to even concern yourself with such a trifle, but to others who know you, it is not at all insignificant. Just by describing this one little feature, you could easily be identified. This little manifestation, as small and unimportant as it is, nevertheless appears many thousands of times each day, and is your customary posture, taken as a fulcrum to give us leverage for the observation of the human biological machine. It is called the chief weakness. The study of the negative manifestations of the machine helps us to record in our higher mental apparatus all those activities originated by the biological machine, but which we now attribute to our own will and initiation. Simple observation will bring about slow change through the influence of the non-phenomenal self, using one of the very few techniques which can change our organic habits without making worse ones in their place.